Hello, everyone. This is Rachel Blair. I'm the Marketing and Communications Manager at Avenues. We are today with Avenues staff to talk about how the youth at Brooklyn Avenues are doing. This February marks Brooklyn Avenue's 6th anniversary. We're so excited. And we just wanted to share with the community about how the youth are doing and get to know our Avenue staff a little bit. So we're going to introduce ourselves. If Ms. Rosie, could you introduce your name, your pronouns, what your position is at Brooklyn Avenues, and how long you've been?
My name is Rosie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I've been at Brooklyn Avenues for a year, and I'm a youth support specialist.
Thank you. And Ms. Makeda?
Hi, my name is Makeda. I've been with the agency for 6 years. I've been at Brooklyn Avenues for 6 months. And my pronouns are she, her, hers.
And what's your position?
I'm a case manager.
Thank you. So like I said, Brooklyn Avenues has been open for 6 years. And a question we often hear, how has homelessness changed in 6 years?
There has been an increase in the cause and need of homelessness.
Makeda, can you talk about
that? Yeah, I would say I am in agreement, especially over the last 6 years. You would kind of see off and on the same type of familiar faces of youth who like will use this bed 1 week and go to another shelter, but you know they're coming back, they have a kind of a routine. And then you would get more calls or so from severe cases of homelessness very so often. Like it wasn't really like where it was a big need.
Sporadically.
Right. But like I would say the past 3 years was when it really increased. And I think that the need and changes increased due to undiagnosed mental health, a lot of teenage pregnancy, and actual drug use of the youth. I would say, because in the past, you would have a lot of homelessness due to like parents no longer being able to financially provide for the child, or they would have a drug addiction themselves and were unable to provide for that child, or they just like were butting heads and it was becoming a toxic environment and they just wanted their youth out the house. But now you're getting more so of like teen pregnancy, like I said, undiagnosed severe mental health within the youth community and also drug addiction. So
would you say that the drug epidemic has reached young people now?
I would say the drug epidemic has reached young people almost about 10 years ago, if we're going to be realistic, especially with working in the area of North Minneapolis. I would say so. I wasn't as shocked in that area due to like the drug and crime that is over there, but out here in Brooklyn Park, I was shocked because it's a suburban area. And so like you don't hear a lot of stories or see a lot of poverty out here until I came to work out here. And then I'm seeing young kids at the light stops with some homeless signs. I'm seeing kids at soup kitchens and outside in line for like food where you see families are lining up. I'm talking about just single young adults. I would say out here it is an epidemic.
So this area, but just certain areas are more targeted.
Yeah.
So it's like to see it somewhere else, it strikes an interest like, oh, it's there too.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on this, but are youth experiencing homelessness for the same reasons that they were 6 years ago?
Yes and no. I say yes because obviously the trials and like obstacles that cause youth homelessness isn't just going to go away overnight. And I say no because it hasn't really changed. Like the reason for homelessness hasn't changed. I'll say it just, it's more exacerbated because of COVID.
Yeah, makes sense. And speaking of COVID, I was hoping we could touch a little bit about that. And I was wondering, has COVID changed the number of youth needing support? That's a question we hear a lot from our community.
It has. In the beginning, the need decreased. In mid-COVID, it has increased. And it went from more from youth calling for themselves to the actual parents or family calling to place the youth.
Could you talk a little bit more about that, please? Or why did it increase and then...
I definitely agree with what Rosie said because, like I said, in the beginning of COVID, we still had, you know, your regular phone calls. A lot of people that do know the shelter industry, they call after four, like clockwork, to reserve their e-bed. But due to COVID, both houses have not been able to utilize the e-bed. So that's even cut back a resource that was needed. And then... What was the question again?
Can you talk about how it's been increased?
Oh, yes. And then due to taking the e-bed away, we thought that would increase like the phone calls but in the beginning of COVID, but it didn't. What increased the homelessness of COVID was probably midway, probably like June, July, summertime, where you actually had family members and parents bringing their kids, calling, talking about they can't have them here. And it wasn't the financial stability. It wasn't the drug addictions for the parents. It was more so, I just can't have them in my home anymore. I think a lot of the isolation for the communities played a big part, and undiagnosed mental health within parents, because you already have poverty on top of like health disparities and stuff in these communities that all go in and play a hand in homelessness. But then you add a virus where there's so much miscommunication about it. You have parents that wanted their children to quit jobs, even though that was the only income coming into the home. And then if they didn't quit, then they didn't want them in the home regardless. And then you have people putting their children out because they wanted to be isolated. They didn't want anybody coming to and from the home. And now their child or relationship is over with that child and they don't even have a home to go to. So that is how I feel like drastically it did change with COVID.
Yeah. And we talked about what it was like in the beginning of COVID. So I guess how has COVID impacted youth employment and education? And we can start with youth employment. How has it impacted youth jobs?
In the beginning, we had youth who were working, but due to COVID, the businesses shut down. So youth were without a job. We had youth who had recently got hired and were supposed to start like the training, but due to COVID they couldn't. So a lot of our youth became unemployed and some of them did and didn't qualify for the like the unemployment and that, but they kept a positive attitude, which was
most important.
Most of them did.
How has it affected youth education?
I would say for that part, virtual learning is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And I will say that our youth have been some superstars when it comes to that, and staying on track and knowing that they have any type of resource here to help them with any staff. It's not just one staff they can go to. All staff believe in the importance of education. And so I just felt like it was more not just a job here. I feel like we kind of pulled together more as a village during virtual learning because you got to keep them accountable. We would have staff to make sure they up at 7 o'clock, 7:30. They would try to get breakfast and eat first before getting on the computers. If they was having a login issue, they could come to somebody. So I will say, support-wise, it was there. But
the focus
was not always there in the beginning. Now it's easy. Like, they got it down pat. But I can say that's what they really struggled with, actually having isolation and not having any motivation to get up in the morning. And all of a sudden, I got to get up for virtual learning still. Like, I got to learn and not be in school. But, you know, like, it was just really, it was hard at first for them.
Yeah.
And to touch on that, sorry. Oh, we had when COVID first started, was the end of last school year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had youth who were graduating. They got they missed out on like the ending of their senior year with like prom and graduation. But we did have some who did the virtual graduation. And then we had a graduation party or graduation barbecue here for them just to celebrate, to give them that appreciation and congratulations.
Gotta celebrate. I love that.
All the small and big victories.
Yeah. And so are you back to school now?
This last week was the first time they are in person learning. The only difficultness with that now is their classes are longer. I think that's because they condensed it into only 2 days for older kids or the kids that the population we deal with. Their age group, some are doing the 3 days, which is like the regular in person, and some are doing the 2 days. What they didn't break down for youth was the 2 days is called hybrid in person learning. And it is more compact. So like each class is 3 hours long. So that's like what we're running into is the pushback of, I don't want to do this longer than what I was doing at home. I might as well just stay at home. And yeah, so.
Okay. And I guess, what are the youth up to these days? How are they doing? What are they doing in the houses?
Being kids.
Yeah. They are coping with COVID. staying healthy, interacting, because in the beginning, everybody kind of just isolated themselves to their own area. And now that, you know, everybody, this is just part of life now.
I think that's a good thing when you come to work and you can see them now, like, engaging with each other. Still keeping socially distanced, but actually utilizing the living room, like,
like they watch movies, it'll be one in there watching the movie and others will join, but they're spread out. Like they, without us even having to remember stay this, you know, 6 feet apart.
And they wear their masks.
They wear their masks once they're not coming out the room. We have nothing.
I will say the mask is not just a hard thing for adults. We're just gonna say that.
That's true. And you guys mentioned that we have some good news, that we have some youth that are moving out.
Thank you.
Where these young people are going, why it's a success.
Okay. Let me think so I don't like blurp out any private information. But one youth will be moving to Nicholas Square, which is also a housing program under a coordinated entry. Another youth will be moving to Rita's House, which is a subdivision of the Bridge program. But it's like independent living where like you'll be paying a percentage amount of the rent by your income. And you'll have your own room. You just share the space with like four other roommates, but it's a house. And then the third one is going Prior Crossing. I don't know much about that place, but I know it's in St. Paul. So, yeah.
Well, awesome. So great. I just want to thank you both so much. And thank anyone who's listening to this. Like we said, it's our sixth anniversary in Brooklyn Park or Brooklyn Avenues. I mean, this whole location was built because of the community, to take the community, and it's still true to that today. So thank you, everyone. And
thank you to all our donors and volunteers. Thank you so much.
The community is awesome. Like, they come by and drop off so much needed stuff. And Saturdays, we get a cup food donation.
The
and
pastries. The cake.
It's like, yeah.
The firefighters, I will say, sorry, I'm not trying to like hold you any longer. But like the firefighters in the community bring like maybe like 3 hams a month.
They dropped off a box of t-shirts for you. Yeah. The community is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yay.